And we're back on this Wednesday, July the 8th, 2020. 7-8-2020, 16 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears, Glenn Coble. 1 hour until A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble today, 12:15 to 1 p.m. And then don't forget Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond today, 4:10 to 5 p.m. And the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6:10 until 7. No big hey-hey that hour, Glenn?
No, I cleared my throat. You didn't want to... I'm embarrassed. That
was nice of you to clear your throat on the microphone like
yeah,
that.
That was kind of
stupid.
Whole
15 minutes, you don't clear your throat, and then you decide to do it when we get
yeah,
off.
Yeah, right. Well, so at least they couldn't see I was picking my nose.
So. Well, I thank the caller last hour for...
Great call.
It was a great conversation.
Yeah.
It was an interesting moment, and we're going to move on. But if anybody has anything to say, give me a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We like hearing from anybody. But I will tell you, the point is, I love a spontaneous thing like that happening.
We talked about it all the way through the break.
it's hard to understand, and if you listen to it, it's getting off in the weeds. But the point is that I love spontaneous radio like that. And people, back when I had the little dust up with Jim Jordan, which I think has been 2 or 3 years ago now, because he didn't like a question I asked, I loved it. You know, people thought that it was awful. Adam still mentions it to this day that he thought he was awful to me. Fine. That's okay. I don't mind that. I think it's interesting radio.
Yeah.
I think it's a real... I mean, I'm sorry that they get angry. I don't try to make anybody angry. But if you get angry, that's okay. Because that's a human emotion, and this is not an emotionless zone.
It's a niche that, unfortunately, we've lost with the advent of, what do you call it, automatic radio, where they just play the same 40 songs or whatever, and you never get to talk to anybody. That's boring. That's why I do not listen to any radio station but ours. And that's not just because it's ours, but it's because I can listen and I can hear, you know, the news about Marion. And I think that's important.
Well, and I've always said, give the audience something, mad, sad, or glad. if you can give them one of those, that's
mad,
fine.
Sad or glad.
Yeah. Sometimes you can touch people by being very personal. Sometimes you do make people mad because you say something they don't like. But sometimes you make them very happy or laugh. If you can get an emotion out of somebody,
yeah,
that's the point.
I did a little speech at one of the two rallies that I went to. And it took me 45 minutes to get up the nerve to do the speech. And all of a sudden, my emotions got into me while I was giving the speech, and I went off. And after it was over, I had several people come to me and say, "What a great speech. How long had you planned that?" Or, you know, I hadn't. I just allowed my emotions to get rampant.
Well, isn't it interesting, though, that when forget radio, human connection in life, if somebody gets mad at you, if somebody's happy with you, or if somebody gets sad over something you did, even though you prefer not to have the sad or mad, they care. It's,
yeah,
it's an instant sign that they care.
Yeah.
You would not yell at somebody if you wouldn't waste your time.
And on radio, it means that they're going to listen.
They're going to listen.
Yeah.
So I've as much as I don't want to see anybody sad, I don't want to see anybody mad, I always know that's a sign that they are attached to you,
yeah,
at that point. Because why waste your time? Especially tears. Tears are a sure sign that even if they're mad at you, because some people cry when they're angry.
Mm. I cry when I'm very happy.
I don't cry at all. See, there's another thing. It probably gets to my alienness.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
No, and it's a strange...
The green ears and the alien stuff.
Well,
yeah,
it's Sean was in here last week. Now, and I've known Sean probably longer than anybody else involved with this radio station. Over 20 years. And it's funny because... Sean told the story Friday night about there was an event that he knew, I mean, it was just going to happen one day, you know, a death. That was, he said, I had no doubt that was going to be just horribly traumatic for you because it was a person who was very close to me. Well, you know, one day it happened, and it happened even in a more vivid sense than it normally, I mean, I was in the room. when the person, not in the room, they're sick, totally out of the blue, they just kicked off.
Yeah.
Totally out of the blue. And I didn't get emotional over it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that is, but it's, and it's not a defense mechanism because I don't hold back it. It's not like I'm sitting there choking them back like some people do. It just, events don't hit me emotional.
Okay.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
They just don't.
I don't usually have emotional responses to things. I think we've had this discussion before, and I said I did get emotional about my sister being passing away, but I'm kind of like that. I'm usually stunned if something crazy like that happens, but I don't find death as something unusual. We all are going to do it. So, and well, death, as I get older, I find it less and less exceptional.
Well, and death is only one of these things. I mean, there can be tragedy. There can be all kinds of, there can be personal tragedy.
I would cry if I heard of somebody's child being killed. That would probably do it for
me. I think it would be a spontaneous. It's a strange thing. But here's something I don't think we've ever talked about on this show. I think it's an interesting topic. Because we talk about miracles a lot in life. But I think we talk about miracles more in the sense of health. Mm-hmm. But that's not, there are miracles that aren't necessarily health related.
I don't believe in miracles, but go ahead.
Well, that's okay. Some people do.
Yes.
But the point of the matter is, I don't want to talk about those.
I also believe in angels, but go ahead.
Well, but here's the point that I want to make. Some miracles are man-made. As far as something horrible is going on, and then all of a sudden, something changes. Now, I've always felt that the secret to life is to give. People wonder what the secret is. Tell me what it's all about. Go to the bartender. They're philosophers. I've always thought that the real truth is...
You don't drink that much.
No. I'm going to have to start.
Okay.
Is to give. I think giving. And I think we learn this every Christmas, but we sometimes don't carry it the other 11 months for some reason because we say it's better to give than to receive. But we don't.
Nobody believes that.
Well, I think it's true, though.
I think it's better to give than to receive.
So I guess the big question is today, have you ever been able in life, and this is the miracle of it, to change somebody's life? Have you ever had the ability by giving to change somebody's life in such a massive way that to them, I guess the reason I'm using the term miracle is, it's a miracle that happened, or I really would have been in bad shape.
I think one of the reasons why I'm doing radio right now is because, for the big bucks, is because I want to make changes like that. And I think there are different degrees of miracle. Today I'm going to give myself a little plug today. I'm going to read, and you know how bad a reader I am. I'm going to read Frederick Douglass's speech that he gave on the 5th of July. And it talks about his attitude towards the Declaration of Independence as a black African former slave. So I'm hoping that one person out there, I will give a feeling of understanding why we have such a tear between right now the races. That's why I'm in radio.
Well, I was just thinking recently, I have been lucky enough several times in my life to have been in the position to help somebody in a way that was life-changing sounds silly, but it did change their life in that moment. And that's a really good feeling when you're able to do that. So I guess it's selfish in a little bit of a way, but it's usually not brought on by selfishness because you're usually not sitting at home thinking, how can I make myself feel better? It's just a problem presents itself. You see the problem. You know you can fix this problem, and you do. And the person, I don't, you know what's weird? Here's what I want to talk about this for. I don't think the person ever fully grasps it until you do it. Not that they don't believe that you're going to do it.
I agree.
Because I'll tell you, the one time I remember, the big time I remember this is, I remember I was around somebody. And I say, I want to make this vague because I didn't do it to tell a story on the radio, but I think this is an interesting subject. They were having a, they were just about to lose something very important to them. And I was able to come in and intervene. Now, basically, all they had done was tell me that. They were just telling me, because they were in a really rough time, they were telling me what they were about to lose. And I was able, and I went home that night, I remember thought, you know, I can stop this. Why don't I do that?
Yeah.
And they didn't ask me.
It's the right thing to do.
And I went home and did it. Now, they knew, you just knew. I mean, the way I had to get involved, you just knew it was me. I couldn't do it anonymously. So I did it. And they, I will never forget the moment that they realized that it was over, that this stress ball, that this thing that had been weighing on them so horrendously was over. I mean, they cried. Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what they did. They cried. And that really was shocking to me because they knew I was going to do it. Because, like I said, you couldn't not get involved. But they weren't emotional about saying it, but they were emotional the moment it happened. So I guess my question, why is that?
I really don't. I don't know why it's that way. I have a similar situation where a gentleman was walking down the street in Athens, obviously in distress because he had very poor clothes on and he just looked like he was down on his luck. And for some reason or other, I pulled over and I said, "Can I help you?" He was out on a road that there really wasn't anything out there. I said, "Can I help you get a ride somewhere?" And he said yes, but he really didn't know where he was going. So he got in the car and we started talking, and I realized he was homeless and had no place to go, and it had just started to rain. So I said, "I'll tell you what, I have a friend at a motel. I'll take you over there." And I took him to the motel, paid $20, I think it was, to the guy to give him a room. And the guy, as I left, he was crying. And I, the whole time, I didn't realize I was doing anything spectacular. But for him, it was spectacular. And I don't know why it was spectacular.
Isn't it weird, though, the moment that it happens, the moment that it's over, the moment that they realize that this is a reality, something happens.
Yeah.
And it really changes the...
Kind of a relief.
I think it probably is. But I wish, in a way, that they were able, because I think it's stress. I think it's a relief of stress.
Yeah.
I wish in a way that they were able to de-stress earlier, because stress is an awful thing. Mm-hmm. I think stress is the number one killer.
I doubt that you get a lot of stress.
No, me? No. Yeah. I don't really either. Don't.
We're similar that way. I think stress will kill you.
Maybe, yeah, I'll be all here forever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't get stressed, because even when the bad things are happening, I in my mind, a voice comes on and it just says, "This too shall pass."
Yeah.
And you know what will also pass? This break that's coming up right now for a minute, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk about something even more interesting.
Oh, cool.
Scott, you know there have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light,
Noise, and the Ad Council.
And we're back here, WWGH Radio, Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, having an interesting conversation about helping people out. Now, here's an interesting, and by the way, I do want to touch on the stress thing again, because I think we didn't really get to finish that up. When I say stress is the number one killer, your death certificate's not going to read stress.
Probably not.
But what it's going to read is
heart failure,
heart attack,
high blood
stroke,
pressure, yeah.
Congestive heart failure.
Suicide.
Yeah, but suicide's the obvious one. But the other things are all, blood pressure is stress. Stroke is stress because caused by blood
Being
pressure.
Being around you is stress.
Very stressful, absolutely. And that's why I go around people, because I'm trying to help these clinics stay in business. That's exactly what I'm doing.
Sorry, Scott. I was feeling good about myself there for a moment, and then I lost it.
We were having such a nice conversation, Glenn. But no, here's the other part of this conversation I want to have about man-made miracles. Is that, what's your criteria? Because we can't save the world. This is an interesting thing, but we can't.
And you're trying.
You try, but you can't.
Right.
You can't save the world. So how do you pick and choose? Like, because I thought about this. I thought, why did I choose that person to do that for?
Yeah.
I could do it.
Good question.
But I could do something for other people, too. I'm sure there were other people in distress. Why that person? So what's your criteria? Because I've thought about this as of late.
Well, I'm a lazy person, so the easiest thing I do first. So helping this guy out was simple for me. All I had to do is, once I picked him up and found out that he was basically homeless, it was an easy do. I know that's kind of flippant to throw that out there, but I think the easier things you can do quickly, whereas the harder things take you a little while. The reason why I ran for office is I thought, well, I was pretty realistic about it. I was pretty sure I had no chance, but I also knew that at least I could talk to people, and I could help people understand where my side came from. And that's kind of why I did that, is I hoped I could change some people. Not change them so that they'd vote for me, but change them about their thought process. You know, I don't know. I don't know if I did.
Well, here's mine. And I guess because mine was a little more personal, because I clearly knew the person that I was doing this for. Number one, because, you know, and I hate to say this, I'm sure there are more than two, but I can think of two people right now in my life who are in tremendous dire straits. You know, just not having the best time in life. Not medically, but just it's financials. That's what a lot of people worry about.
That's what
it's
most
the thing.
People do.
That's the thing. So here's the thing. One of these people, I would never even consider jumping in, because now here are the reasons. I base this, number one, in I got to trust you. I got to trust you, because if I believe that you got into this situation by doing bad things, and I believe that you're still doing bad things, I can't do that.
No.
I just can't do it. No. I mean, you can call me every name in the book you want. I just can't get involved.
So you know bad people.
I don't do bad things make bad people?
Not necessarily.
Right. No. So here's the thing.
Ignorance.
Well, let's say I go to somebody and I say, hey, let me help you with this. And then that night I learn that they went and did something horrible.
Yeah.
Well, sorry. You know, I can't continue this, because now you've been dishonest with me, and you've also done something that is totally going to counteract anything that I do. Why
and
would
it
I
sounds
do?
Like they're taking advantage.
And take and it, yeah, and that's why they get so angry.
Yeah.
Because they know what they've done. Now, the other thing is,
do you think they really care? There are people that don't care. I think.
Are there people who really care?
Well, I was listening to Mary Trump, the young lady that just wrote, well, she's not a young lady, but the lady that wrote that book, and she really doesn't feel most of her family cares what's right and wrong. So that's
well, yeah, I understand that. Well, I don't know if they care as much as they are. Basically, for the same reason they cry when you fix their problem, I think they cry when you say, I'm not going to fix it. Because, again, they're back in that stress.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's
yes,
it.
Yes, I understand.
I think
that,
that's it. So, okay, that's why I got to trust
one.
You.
What's the?
You're right. I got to trust you. But the other one is it just, and there's no definition to this. It's just got to feel right.
Serendipity.
Right. If you, I love the word serendipitous.
I do too.
that and centrifugal. I love the word centrifugal and serendipitous.
Well, they don't have anything to do with it.
No, but I just love you. If you use either one of those words, I just might propose to you.
They're pretty words.
I could propose if you use those
please,
words.
Please, no, I'm married.
Serendipitous or cynical. Or no, what was it? Centrifugal.
Centrifugal, yes.
But the thing of it is that if, I guess it's more, you know what causes it is an absolute insincerity. Like, I get that thing in my gut, like, ooh, I'm going to regret this.
Yeah.
Not that you've necessarily done anything wrong. Not that you've
concern
went out.
Concern that might happen.
Yeah, like, yeah. Oh, boy. Because once you ding the bell, you can't unding the bell. Right. And you think, oh, why did I do that? That was completely wrong. I shouldn't have done. And that's the last thing you want to have happen a month after you do something life-changing for somebody.
You know what my mom would say to you about that?
What's that?
Do the right thing, do the good thing, and don't worry about how you get responded to.
Well, no, but that's not what it is. If the person stopped talking to me, that wouldn't bother me. The problem is me thinking, well, was that the right thing? Because that's exactly right, what your mother would have said. Because I think when I go back, I question, well, was that? Did I do the right thing?
Don't worry about it. That's what Mom would have said.
Well,
just do the right thing.
Yeah, but then you think of all the right things you could have done for other people.
Oh, yeah, but you can't do everything.
Right, which is why you really have to make the right decision.
It's what you started this whole conversation
right,
about.
Right, right. And I think that's what it boils down to. But there's nothing greater than being able to be in that moment. When you do the good thing.
Yeah, and like you said also earlier, it's not that you do it to feel good.
No.
You do it just because it's the thing to do.
Right.
And then the great reward that you get for doing the right thing is really, I just got goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, it really is. I mean, you end up feeling so good about it because it made them feel so good. But the truth of the matter is that moment when it happens, the moment when they realize that the life has changed, it is just, it's a very surreal, out of this world moment.
My favorite parable is... it's the one about the guy that helps the Good Samaritan. That's my favorite parable of all time, and I try to live my life that way. If I see somebody that's hurting and I can do something about it, like we're talking about, I'll do something if I can. Now, the Good Samaritan did something even though he could have been in trouble because he was on a road where there were bandits all over the place. He was from a different country. He was one of the hated immigrants, and he took care of a man and put him, got him put up into a motel. So they didn't have motels then, but and that's the kind of thing we're talking about right here is being the Good Samaritan.
Well, I've been on this because I do believe karma. I think it's not as
now you're telling me how stupid you are.
No. I'll tell you here's how I believe in karma. Because this is true. If you really think about it. Okay. Let's say that you are nice to a person in the office.
Mm-hmm.
Just incredibly nice to them. Even on days when you don't feel you need to be nice, but you're just a nice person. And they get a big promotion.
It's everybody else in this office but me.
Right. Okay. And they get a big promotion.
Yeah.
Okay, then they're running the office.
Okay.
They're probably going to be nicer to you than somebody who wasn't nice to them.
Yeah.
Okay, that is karma.
You call that karma. I call
well,
that sucking
isn't that,
up.
You get you call it what?
Sucking up.
But you weren't doing it.
Pre-sucking up.
But what if that same person gets fired? You weren't doing it. For any particular
I know
reason.
A lot of people that are nice to everybody until they get fired or until they get
right,
moved
but
up.
Okay, but what's your reasoning, I guess, is what that all boils down to. If your reasoning is to get... if you don't know that person's going to be your boss, they can't promote you anyway.
Yeah.
So at the time you did it, you were just doing it to be nice, but you do reap the rewards of that when they do get promoted. So, yeah, okay. I think that is karma. That is what karma means.
Okay.
Isn't it?
I don't know.
What do you think karma means?
I don't believe in it, so I have no idea.
Well, I'm not sure if karma is...
You get your just rewards is what karma is. You get rewarded for what you've done in life, or you get...
Oh, I don't know if that's true, though.
Or you get turned in trouble for what you've done in life.
I think it can happen, sure. I think that can happen. I think if you've done something bad, you're going to have consequences.
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
I do, too. I just don't call it karma.
No. Anyway, we can call it anything. We can call it bathtub. But the point, it happens.
Okay, I have bathtub.
You have bathtub.
Occasionally.
So, yeah. But the other part of that is this is what I've been saying for the last two mornings. And has really come out
you
more.
You got to get off of that subject.
For this pandemic. Is that, you know, write somebody a note. You know, our whole history is wrapped up in letters. That's how we know people's history. People don't write letters anymore.
No, they don't.
We call people on the phone. Let them hear your voice. Don't text them.
Yep.
That helps.
I like that.
Visit somebody. You know, go see them. Say hello. Do that. These are little acts that we can do that show appreciation, that show kindness,
yep,
that are going to create a karma that in the end will benefit you. Why are you, because here's what you got to remember. Why are you different than anybody else? What makes you different than anybody else when it comes to good things happening to you?
Well, I'm handsome and smart, better than that.
There you go. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
what why separate you from the whole, you know, the other billion people around?
8 billion, okay.
Is that where we're at now?
Yeah,
8 billion?
So.
The other 8 billion people on the planet. Why you? Well, it's probably because you've done something different along the way than those other 8 billion people. And I think if you sit down and write a note, if you sit down and go see somebody, if you sit down and send a picture. That's the internet world we're in now. If you do those sort of things, you will... Have you heard about sending a thank you note?
I used to do it.
Right.
Occasionally. And I think it's the best thing you can do.
Now, why do we do it?
To say thank you.
Right, but do we think they don't get that we're thankful?
Yeah, well, I think we're doing it to emphasize how thankful we are. And also to say, you're my friend.
Right, that's it. That this is different.
Yeah.
Than just any old person.
Yeah.
And I try to do that. So,
do you still write thank you notes?
Not, I don't mail them, but I will send people notes on Facebook. I'll send people notes in email, and I'll say, thanks for coming. It was great, so on and so forth. Yeah, and I personalize it. I don't send the same one to everybody.
Yeah, I just got an email from, or a message from one of the three guys I sang with when I was young. And it was a long one, and usually when I see a long message, I delete. But I read this whole thing, and it was just wonderful to hear all the things that are going on in his life. And he basically was thanking, I'm a little concerned for his health, because he was basically thanking people around him for his youth. And I hope he's okay.
Now, here's what we have 15 minutes left in this program today, and here's what we're going to do when we come back from the final break. Because I think this is, again, we're hitting all new subjects today.
We are, yeah.
Which is a lot of fun. And the final subject today is, do you think you can plan happiness?
Cool.
Ah, that's a subject. Coming up here, right around the corner, or is all happiness spontaneous? That would be the other option.
You can't invite me if you want to have happiness.
We're going to, and I certainly won't. We'll be back in 1 minute. Don't go anywhere.
Scott, do you know what my favorite meal is?
No, Charlie. What is it?
A BLF.
What's a BLF?
Bacon, lettuce, and fruitcake sandwich. Good.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears, Glenn Coble, talking about happiness.
Boy, we've been talking through the breaks the whole time.
It must be an interesting subject this morning.
We must be interested, at least.
So here's the subject. And by the way, you can weigh in on this from home if you want. 740-383-9944.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to tell them that.
Yep. Can you plan happiness? That's the question.
I'll tell you what. I don't think you can plan happiness. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure there is such a thing as happiness.
Where do you come from, Glenn?
I come from Mars.
And I'm the alien? Yeah. Listen, if you're still listening, caller, I think you better look into Glenn's papers. Check the paperwork.
Well, no, I don't think happiness is something you can, I don't think you can constantly be happy. I just don't think that.
Well, I don't think you can constantly be happy, but I'm saying, can you plan a happy moment, or does it have to be spontaneous?
Yeah, I think you can plan to set up everything around being happy. But it does, if you're going to have a birthday party and you know it's going to be wonderful and everything, it can go hell in a handbasket.
It'll be a mess. Yeah. Well, and that's what I believe. That's why I believe all great moments truly happen in moments that are not heavily contrived.
Yes.
Now, all things to some degree are contrived.
Yeah.
I mean, if you invite somebody around, you know you're going to be together.
Yeah.
And there is something could happen.
Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily have to. But something might happen that you never would have thought happened that changed the world.
Well, do you remember the girl in when you were 15 years old that if you were with her, you just knew you'd be lifted to the heavens? I had
because you liked her?
Yeah. I had several of those girls. And many of them, when I was with them, it was very uncomfortable.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I remember when I was doing baseball in high school. Now, this is what I remember. I don't know how
playing or playing. Not announcing.
I did that too, though.
Okay.
But the interesting thing was the girls played softball, you know, just across the way from where we were, and they always played at the same time.
Yep.
And there was a girl who played softball. And every time, I mean, we had to walk past the softball field to get to the baseball field. Mm-hmm. And every time we walked past, I would always see her, and we would always converse, even if it was just a hey, if we were busy. Hey, how you doing? You know, by name. And you never knew what was going to happen. It certainly wasn't planned. Now, you knew she was going to be there because she was playing softball.
But you were happy to see her, weren't you?
It was a good moment.
Yeah.
And yeah, you did feel better about it.
Yeah.
You felt better about the whole day. You felt better about the whole situation. And if nothing else, you were happy about that.
I do plan to have times with my wife that I know will be happy and times with my puppy dog that I know will be happy. Most of the time they turn out that way, but it's because of the company, not because I planned it that way. But I think you can plan to some degree, but don't count on it.
No, the second you count all up
in
over.
Your face, yeah.
But then conversely, things can blow up in your face when you think you got the world by the rear end. It can turn around and blow up in your face.
Well, speaking conversely, there are many times where I've thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be horrible. I don't really want to do this like your parties.
Just like when I think about inviting you. I say, I really don't want to do this.
Right.
So it works for us both.
And it actually turns out wonderful. And I've had that happen. Not with the parties, but...
not with inviting you either. Yeah. I've never second-guessed it at all.
Yeah.
Not one time.
But have you ever had that happen where you thought this is going to be a mess?
Yes. Yes.
And it turned out great.
Yes.
Yeah.
A recent thing.
Oh.
I can't even go any further
recent.
I thought this is going downhill faster than a mudslide. And it I tell you what, it got caught.
Yeah.
It caught. And I thought, oh, wow.
So keep trying stuff.
Didn't expect that.
Yeah. If you just stop, that's kind of the message of my show, It's a Progressive Life, is keep moving forward. Because if you just sit there, like I've done way too much, you don't know, you're never going to enjoy your life. You're not going to enjoy the things that are going on. Move forward.
Don't stress.
Yeah, please don't stress.
And I understand it's hard not to stress over financials. Don't think I'm talking, trying to be cavalier and say that your money problems are going to go away. But I will say this, and it's everybody says it, stressing about it isn't going to fix it.
No. And you know what? This is just a word from a guy that's on Social Security.
Well, you sound like you're like that guy who used to, on Saturday mornings on MRN, I'm from the Social Security office, and we're going to talk about, this is just a word from a guy on Social Security.
Well, you know, I make about half of what I made when I was in business, and I've found that my wife and I actually have a wonderful life. Even though I can't afford to have my driveway covered with blacktop or buy the latest weed eaters or anything like that, we love our life.
You just sparked a memory in my head.
Okay.
We all know Jimmy Stewart.
Yes,
lovable actor Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
Probably best known for the Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life.
My favorite show. Yeah.
He was George Bailey. Do you know how many kids were named Bailey after George Bailey?
No.
Oh, tons. Because
it was a
Frank Capra film.
Yeah.
I mean, I know somebody who was named Bailey after George Bailey.
But now I understand that movie was not well accepted when it first came out.
Not when it first came out.
Yeah.
But in the preceding years, there have been a ton of kids, and it's still played every year.
I wish I'd named my son Bailey.
Yeah. Well, I've known many Baileys. And
or my daughter Bailey.
I don't know if it's a good girl's name, but it's a good boy's name.
I know. We know one Bailey.
Do we?
Yeah.
Who?
Bailey. I love that name.
Oh, Lord. Well, whatever.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so the point is why were you stepping on my story,
I'm
Glenn?
Sorry, I do that
time.
All the time.
This is a radio show.
All right.
Okay.
You
anyway.
Got 8 minutes. Go.
Oh, I don't know if I can get this in now. Jimmy Stewart.
Yes.
George Bailey.
Yeah.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Many people were named after George Bailey. I wonder why they didn't name their kids George. They named him Bailey.
That's a good question.
Named him Bailey. Okay. So, anyway, and I know somebody who, but that's not the point. The point is that the movie is It's a Wonderful Life. And years after that film, this is probably in the latter, because Jimmy Stewart lived to be like 90 or something. He lived a good long life.
Yeah.
So, you know, that movie was made in the 60s, maybe even earlier than that, maybe 50s?
Yeah, I think it was
50s.
Earlier, yeah.
So it's made a long time ago. And, Jimmy Stewart, he would still do it every Christmas. They would trot Jimmy Stewart out on like Johnny Carson or something, and he would do an interview, of course, about It's a Wonderful Life, and they would always ask him questions about the movie. And I'll never forget this answer, and I can remember it word for word out of Jimmy Stewart's mouth. He was definitely in his later years. He was probably late 80s. And I remember they said, you know, what's your life like? What's your life been like? How would you describe your life? And Jimmy Stewart goes, "It's been a wonderful life by a movie of the same title."
Oh, that's cool.
And I thought, what a great line that was.
1946.
1946.
Came out the year I was born.
No, 73 years ago. Now, think about that. Isn't that a great line?
That is a great line.
It's a wonderful life by a movie of the same title.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Well, I think he died in like 94 or something like that.
He was rather old.
He did have a wonderful life. He was an aviator, I believe, and was a hero and a movie star and very tall and very handsome. And,
he did a lot of good movies.
Yeah.
But I always thought that's it. You know, and I guess when it comes to financial issues, I just wish that people, you can't erase them sometimes, but just worry a little less.
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy for us to say. We're sitting here in a warm studio with, we both look like we've been well fed. And but there are people that are not being well fed. There are kids out there that don't know where they're going to get lunch from. And
so I don't want to be cavalier about it.
I know.
I'm just saying that stressing about it won't fix it.
No, but I believe if you're hungry that you're going to be stressed. Just trying to think you're going to get food.
Well, that's but I think that's there are levels of this.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking about absolute poverty there.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, man, I don't have enough money to pay the phone bill.
I watched a thing on television, or not on television, on Facebook or something like that. It was a video of, I don't know, five, six very overweight gentleman chasing an African-American gentleman off of a pathway in Indiana, and they called him all sorts of bad names and stuff like that. And I was trying to think to myself, why are these overfed white guys so uptight about an African-American gentleman with his friends walking down a pathway in a public park? And I never could figure it out. If you can leave that alone, leave that stress, that concern like that away, your life's going to be better and people around you are going to be happier, I think.
I agree, and I think that's what it boils down to in the end, is that you can either choose to be stressed or you can choose not. And you know what? Also, the job you pick, and boy, I am a heavy, this is a big subject, but the job you pick, and a lot of people pick their job because of money.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it. Yeah. They do not pick. Now, they'll tell you that they're happy, but that's different. And I think sometimes those people don't even understand that there are some people who love to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like to take vacations. They stay extra because they are just loving what they're doing. It's different. You know, those people you see never retire. You know, you got to force them out of there with a shoehorn.
Yeah.
You know, they do not want to go.
That's why I'm back in radio.
Yeah, that's love.
Yeah.
That's love.
I love it.
And the thing of it is most people don't have that. 98%
right.
don't. Now, they'll try to tell you they do, and they might love the money, but they don't love the job.
If you love what you're doing, you will never have to work.
That's right. And that's exactly right. And I don't think people... somebody said it once, and I don't remember who it was, but it was, find what makes you happy, find out how to get paid for it, and you got it made.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I really loved my work when I was in athletics. It was awfully long hours and pretty hard work. And I would have loved to stay in it, but sometimes you can't stay in what you love because there are other people that want to love that job too.
Yeah, but you know, listen, and it's not, you know, sanitation crew, but radio is not easy.
I bet there are people that are in the sanitation crew that love their job.
I bet they are.
Yeah.
But radio is not easy.
No, it's not.
If you are really doing it right, it is personnel. It is getting there every day. It is making sure all the equipment
works.
You
got to do homework.
It's making sure you're sounding good. It's the homework you do. It's the booking.
Yeah.
It's never the interview. It's the booking. It's
yeah.
the timing. It's a news story breaks. You got to be there. You take equipment with you on every trip you go on because you think something's going to happen. It's constant.
Yeah.
It's constant. But you love it.
Yeah.
You love it.
Well, I loved our election reports, and I hope we get to do that a lot because it is kind of stressful.
It's a stressful place. Are the phones going to work when we go to this person? Is that
going to... And am I going to ask the wrong question?
It's heavy-duty stressful.
Yeah.
But it also can be outrageous. You know, there are... here's the thing with radio. There, I've come in sick because, again, it's one of those jobs the show must go on.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it must.
Yeah.
You come in, you've got the flu, you feel awful.
If you do that, tell me, I won't be
in. You won't be in. But you come in, and they turn the mic on, and you feel better.
Yeah.
You feel better when you leave.
That's exactly what happened to Charlie.
Exactly.
When he was not feeling
well. That's a job you love. Yeah. And Charlie's a good example of this. You stay in it till 30 days before you leave.
Absolutely. And even then, he was in it.
He was still in it. And that's the point. Charlie, this was not a job.
No. No.
This was fun.
He liked doing this.
And I do, too.
He liked making fun of us. He liked making fun of my swap shop theme.
Yeah, but you know, Charlie was a guy. It was a chance to get out of the house and be curious.
Yeah.
And that's what it was.
Yep.
And talking to people who you don't normally talk to, even though you don't see.
Yep.
Progressive Life with Glenn Kobel's coming up 12 to 1 today, and then we have got Offbeat News and Trivia with Nate Redmond 4 to 5 and the Trinity Baptist Church Sunday Sermon from 6 to 7. Stay tuned.
LP 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. From broadcasting legends Charlie Evers and Mary Ann Michaels.
Alexander Hamilton is going off the $10 bill in 5 years. So long, Alexander. And he is going to put a woman on there. Money on the $10 bill. And this summer, they